Good evening. Testing, testing. Okay, it's loud enough. Okay, it's good to see all of you. I don't want to say much, but I just want to get you something so that we can get it on the way. Time is short. Okay, this is what I would like to say to you this evening is that, you know, I know all of us, we are conditioned not just to hear the word of God. When we come to a meeting, come to a place, even on a Sunday, we are conditioned to just hear the word. Now, I want to tell you one thing. God is more than just the word of God for you. Okay? Now, because we have been conditioned, maybe some of you who are Christian for a long time, you know, you go to church, it's like the normal thing is sit and hear a sermon. When it's over, we go home. But I'll tell you one thing is that I want to challenge your thinking. You know, I want to unbox the way you think, the way you perceive about God, the way you experience God. Now, God is more than just the teaching tonight for you. Okay? More than just the teaching. He's not limited by the speaker. He's not limited by you. He's God. There's a lot of things that He can do and He will do. But because we have been conditioned to just hear the word and nothing else. Now, I want to challenge the way you perceive what God's going to do, not only this in this meeting, but in any meeting that you go. Okay? In any meeting that you will go from this day onward, is that when you sit there, you say, Lord, I'm here. What have you got for me? What are the things that you want to say to me? What are the things that you want to teach me? And what are the things that you want to do to me? Now, we have seen in meetings whereby God heals somebody sitting in the congregation. Nobody lay hands on them. Now, God don't need my permission to be God. He don't need my permission to do anything. You get it? He's God. He can do anything. Now, you are His people. You are His beloved people. Okay? There are things that He wants to do in your life. But sometimes because we are conditioned just to hear the word, and then we are not taught to expect anything else out of the ordinary that's going to happen to us. And sometimes we are conditioned to think that I need somebody, big shot, big mark, to lay hands on me, to pray for me, then something happened. We have seen people got healed in a meeting without any intervention from us. You understand? Now, we just want to cause you to let your faith rise up. God knows your need. You're not going to go back empty-handed. Because God is here. Okay? He wants to minister to you. Now, while you're listening to the teaching, you know, God can touch you. God can minister to you. Alright? Now, we are not going to approach God on an intellectual basis. We are in a relationship with God. Heart to heart. Open your heart to Him. Even as you open your mind, God will grant you the understanding. But at the same time, the Lord wants to touch your heart also. He knows your need, okay? He knows your need. He knows you now. He's going to give you the things that you need. He's going to touch you right where you're sitting. You got to have that expectation. Say, Father, I'm here. Now, one thing, I just want to share this quickly. Memento. Is that, you know, a lot of times, we view ourselves as what? We view ourselves as Christians, right? Nobody view yourself as a Christian? It's a normal thing, right? So we go to church. Yeah, we're all Christians, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you one thing. The label Christian is how a non-Christian will view us. Will you believe that? He found a book of Acts. He said that, you know, that in Antioch and the disciples were first called Christians. But that's how people, non-believers, will call us Christians. But God don't see us that way. God sees you as what? God sees you as His children. So every time when we come together, we come together as the children of God. That's different, no? If you see yourself as children of God and you see yourself as Christian, man, there are two categories. You know, your perspective change. Your perception of God changes. You know, your expectancy changes. It's different. Now, this is where Now I want to challenge you that, you know, let God change your perception. Because your perception determines how you would behave, how will you respond to God. You know, I want you to challenge you to think from now on that you are a child of God. Okay, people may call you Christian because you go to church and believe in Jesus Christ. But positionally, you are a child of God. That's who you are. That makes a lot of difference. Now, I just want to end by my part, before I give it to Lydia, is that, you know, expect more than what is being taught. You know, God can speak to you beyond what is being taught. Sometimes God can speak to you entirely different subject. Because why? He knows what's your need. And He wants to minister to you. Okay? So I want to encourage you that you be so open to the Holy Spirit. Let him have His way with you. Okay?
First of all, I just want to say that this is a very interesting topic. And I want to encourage each one of us here that God really can speak to each and every one of us. And He's a good God. He's a God of relationship. I get very excited with this topic, mainly because when the Lord first taught me how to hear His voice, I came alive. I entered into a relationship with God that I never imagined. You know, when Joseph mentioned that it's not just only His word, basically what he's saying is also this, that God is going to make His word so personal to you by Him speaking to you, affirming you. And God will not contradict Himself, because there are things that God has written in His word, and when God begins to speak to us, it's going to be in confinement to the will of God. That means God is not going to contradict that which has been He's speaking to us out of line from God. It's God's word. Are you here with me? So that means the deeper that we know God in His word, in that knowledge of Him, in that relationship with Him, things are going to happen to us. Okay, let me just say a quick prayer before we start. Father, we thank You, God, that Your word is alive. We thank You, Lord, that You are going to reveal to us, oh God, things, oh God, that You want us to learn even today. Precious Holy Spirit, that You will come and open up our hearts, open up our ears. Open us up, oh God, in our spirit man, that we will catch hold of all of You tonight. That You will begin, oh God, to come into our lives in a way and in a dimension that we have not known. We just thank You, God, for Your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Even as you begin to look at your notes here, there will be many things that I will say that may not be in the notes. In fact, will not be in the notes, but I would like you to just quickly jot down, because I'm just going to flow prophetically. This is just a guideline. You know, one thing about the things of God is that we really cannot put Him in a box, and that's beautiful. We can look at God at 10 different angles, and it's like each time we look at it, it will come out differently, because God will tailor-make what He wants to do or what He wants to say to each one of us according to what we are going through now. God is in the now word. The prophetic is talking about the now word. It's not just only talking about what God had done in the past, but it's talking about what God is wanting to say or emphasize to us. Okay? So that means that, you know, God always moves in the present tense. Isn't that wonderful? You get excited. You're very quiet. God always moves in the present tense. He has moved in the past. He's moving now. And He's going to move some more in the future. Okay? God is continuously moving. And therefore, the first practical ways in order to learn to hear the voice of God, it begins with a desire. Tonight, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to stir up your desire in Him. Those of you housewives, you would know this. If you're cooking something in a pot, you need to stir. Otherwise, the food gets stuck onto the pot. Okay? God does not want us to be stuck in one mode. He wants us to stir us up so that we can learn to hear Him, so that we can walk in the practical things of God. The ways of God are always practical. I thank God, you know, that God is so simple. I thank God that He's so uncomplicated. And therefore, even if it's a child, a middle-aged person, or an adult, or even an elderly person, Okay? God can come and speak to each one of us, no matter what age group, according to even the ways in which we can accept. What do I mean by that? That means God is not going to come to you and give you a spoken voice. Hello, I'm God. Okay? If He does that, I think most of us will run. We will flip. He won't do that. But He will come to us in ways and means that's like as if, you know, it is so norm. It's so normal. In such a way that when God begins to speak to us, we will be able to know that He is God. God has put, that intuition, that voice that we can recognize Him. Whether it is a Christian or non-Christian, somehow God knows how to arrest the attention of His people. So the first thing is, we begin with desire. Desire equates to expectation, so to say. If you don't expect anything from God, I'm going to say this to you, you will receive nothing. You expect nothing, you receive nothing. You desire nothing, that means you're not going to have anything. So the desire is very important. Let it be a strong desire. A strong desire to passionately know God. A strong desire to know His voice so that you know that God will speak to you, because the Word of God says that my sheep will hear my voice. And a voice of a stranger, he will not follow. So if we are God's sheep, we must know His voice. We must hear His voice. This is one area that we must excel. Because there are times that when you go through a difficult situation, okay, you need God to give you an answer instantly. You need God's presence to come and envelop you. So you and I must create that environment, or create our hearts, create within us a heart that is conducive for the Holy Spirit to move and the Holy Spirit to stir. God wants to stir us up. So our desire in God must be very high, must be very intense. Now let me just say this, when we talk about hearing God's voice, I'm not going to share with you from the aspect of you prophesying to people. I'm talking about you learning to excel, to recognize the voice of God for yourself. Because the prophecy part will come later. Okay? But you and I must learn to excel in hearing the voice of God first. To identify, how does God speak to us? In what manner will He speak to us? I believe that worldwide God is stirring up the hunger of His people in order to recognize the voice of God. I love this topic. I really can just go on and go on and go on. And so our desire in God must be so high. The Word of God says in Psalms 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Let me stop with that first. Delight. The word delight means make God happy. Simple. It's not make you happy. It's not make me happy. It's make God happy. That means you must find the time, create that time, give yourself that time to come into a place where you are going to make God delight in you and you delighting in God. Are you here with me? First, we delight in God. We make God happy. You know, worship is about entertaining God. Oh, I love that. Worship is not entertaining ourselves. It's not entertaining the music. I love music. I really can go on. You can tell. I really can go on. But worship is literally entertaining God, making God happy, making God the center stage, glorifying the Lord, touching God's heart, right at the core of His heart. Jesus be the center. Right touching there. So when we delight ourselves in God, you know, it's like this, those of you parents, when your children makes you so happy, even though your child is not permitted to eat ice cream because it's so cold during a freezing winter. But because your child melts your heart, you just give the ice cream, or never mind, just a little bit. Because the child has touched your heart. Now, when we delight ourselves in God in such a way that we have touched Him, He will give us the desires of our hearts. Many times we are so concerned about our prayer needs. There are times we don't even pray about our needs. We just take delight in God. And God comes in to meet with our needs. Don't be bothered about your needs. Be bothered about pleasing God. Be bothered about making God. That is your number one priority. Okay? When we come into that place, you know, you'll find that your heart becomes light. It's not heavy. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Those of you with health issues, concentrate on making God happy and God will make you happy. When you worship God, God will begin to bring forth healing virtue. So He begins to release the healing virtue unto you. Likewise, in the area of hearing the voice of God. Oftentimes in a church setting, I remember I started off, because I love to sing, I love to worship, I play the guitar. When I started off in the church, there was just an area whereby one of the guitarists left for England for studies. So there was a vacancy. And I thought to myself, I know how to play just a little bit. Never mind, I volunteer. Now let me just say this. To serve God, to desire to serve God is a beautiful thing. Because after all, when we are born again, you know, when we are saved out of our miry clay, out of whatever it is, we want to give back. Okay? So worship is about giving back to God. And so when I started off with that, and I started to just voluntarily play the guitar and worship the Lord in the church, what begins to happen, little did I know that God was starting to do something in my heart. I started to have a desire to hear the voice of God. And so every time in the church, now I'm giving you also nuggets as a how-to. Because most of you desire to hear the voice of God. You want to move in that which is practical. Now God is always a practical God. He will not come to you in thunder and lightning occasionally. Once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime, He may do that. But most of the time, in your natural daily routine. One of the daily routine, when you worship God, you sensitize your heart. Your heart becomes softened. When your heart and my heart become softened, it is easy for us to know what God is saying. Okay? So worship will soften our hearts. So as we take delight ourselves in God, something begins to happen in us. That is a wooing of God. The Holy Spirit wants to woo us. Okay? Tonight I'm also imparting to you that love relationship. In order to hear God's voice, cultivate first that love relationship with Him. And the voice of God will come to you very clear. Okay? So I started up just being a worshiper and a lover of Jesus. You know, today as I was sensing what God is wanting to do and all that, this song came to me. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. It's a lovely song. Go and look in the YouTube, okay? It's talking about we are friends of God. You know, when you are a friend of God, God will speak to you secrets. But the secret things that God speaks to you will not contradict the Word of God. The secret things that God speaks to you will be one that is not going to condemn you. Okay? Will be one that is assuring, lifting you up. Will be one that comes to you spontaneously. Okay? Now, so we begin with a desire. We make ourselves happy, inclining ourselves toward God and in God, so that we can align our thoughts to God, align our ways to God. Now, if your desire does not contradict the will of God in your life, you're in the right place. But if your desire contradicts the will of God, do not expect God to speak to you according to your desires. Our desires must be aligned with the will of God. Okay? So this is very important. That means you only want God's ways. No other way. There is another song. It's called One Way. I don't know how to sing that one. But all I know is it's just one way. God's way. Okay? Now, as we begin to seek God, something will begin to happen in us. Seek after God. Don't seek after a form, a shape in which how God is going to come to you. Don't put Him in a box. I find that the more spontaneous I am in God, the more God is going to come in. Because the ways of God are always higher than our ways. Always. Okay? And God's thoughts are always bigger than our thoughts. And so when we begin to search for God, we will find Him. When we search for Him with all of our hearts and all of our soul, not one part of you, every single part of you. That means you and I must guard our hearts to be in that shape, to be in that form whereby we are ready to allow God to speak to us spontaneously. Okay? Now the second part is this. Let us approach God with a clean hand and pure hearts. Clean hands. That means we must not be feeling guilty. Now one of the tricks is this. When we feel guilty, most oftentimes we look inside. We don't look up. But God's way is this. It's for us to look up to Him. So to the extent that one is pure in the heart and in the mind, that will determine the nature of the heart and the degree of freedom one has. What do I mean by that? God's ways is always to bring us into freedom. When you hear the voice of God, that's in the book of Amos chapter 5 verse 6, he says, you know, when we hear God's voice, it's like, we will live, we will come alive. We will come alive. You know, no one who has heard the voice of God will die actually. Die, that means if you hear and obey, the word of God says, you know, hear, O Israel, for the Lord your God is one God. Hallelujah. The word hear means shama, hear and obey. So anytime you want to talk about hearing the voice of God, be prepared to obey God. If God has spoken to you something and you have not obeyed, God will not show you the next step. He won't. For the simple fact is this, God is not a toy. God is not one that you and I can manipulate or control. When God demands something from us, that means His word tells us, you know, when God tells us something and when we obey Him, in that process of obedience, even if it is sacrifice, even if it means laying down of anything, no matter how much we want it, but if it is not in the center of the will of God, we have to let it go. Because God will have something better prepared for us. You see, you and I must have such confidence in God that He knows the future. He knows the end from the very beginning. He knows. You see, when you and I are confident of God's character, confident of God, you will hear His voice. It's only when you and I are not too sure about God's character. You see, it has got to do with things that we go through. If you and I have been disappointed by a fellow human being, we all have that. It will be difficult, especially if we don't have the right perception of God. And therefore we will view God that God will disappoint us sometime. Okay? That's not true. Therefore our thoughts got received. God has to bring us in us a total healing, a total picture that He Himself can be trusted. God will never fail us. The character of God will never change no matter what happens. And that's the reality of God. That's that kind of absolute confidence that we can have in God. So when we approach God with a heart that is clean, allowing God to dig up the dirt, because whether you like it or not, you and I have got things that are dirty. Dirty, that means things that have perhaps we've been wounded. When we and I have been wounded, it's like our hearts get, you know, maybe bleeding on the inside. Or perhaps, you know, we have wrong emotions within us. Negative emotions. Not good feeling. Do you know that when you and I have that, it is difficult to perceive really, catch hold of what God is saying? Because it is like, you know, God's thoughts are always pure. God's thoughts are always good. But when we are harassed in those areas because of the nature of our hearts, the nature of the wounds that we have on the inside of us, it is going to tarnish the perception that we have in God. Our perception in God is very, very important. There are people who perceive God out of their perceived injury. That means they've gone through hurts. They've gone through things and they look at it through that glass of hurt, if you can understand what I'm saying. So when we look at God through the perceived hurts, we think that God is like a man, that he should lie. But God is not like a man that he should lie. God will not do that. So sometimes when we have, you know, like perhaps been disappointed, when perhaps somebody that you trusted sort of like promised you something, and suddenly when you're approaching something, a breakthrough, the person turns his back against you. And so you find that you are rejected or you have been denied of something. You feel that, you know, you have gone through betrayal. And therefore, with that, we can carry that over into that relationship with God. And so we approach God. God, you always promise something, but you never bring it to pass. Now, that's not true. What I'm saying is that we are looking through that perceived injury. Is that clear? Okay? So we must get rid of those perceived injuries. We must make sure that our hearts are clean before God. There must be a purity in our hearts and in our minds so that we will not be limited or restricted due to things that are in our hearts. Okay? Out of our hearts come forth the issues. Out of our belly, out of the innermost being comes forth the issues of life. Watch our inner man. Guard that inner man. Okay? Guard that inner man. If you want to move in hearing the voice of God and later on you want to move in prophecy, guard that inner man. Because that which we receive from God, we must be pure to receive it. When I use word pure, it does not mean that, oh, we are holy, so holy 100%, you know, until it's like we behave like one that is so holy, holy. Now, what do I mean by that? Our external behavior and our inward heart, it's the inward heart that is more important than external behavior. It's your internal heart that is going to show what you, it's going to show how you relate to God. It's not a form that I'm emphasizing. Are you with me? Okay? Major on your inner man. Major on it. Major on you hearing the voice of God and writing down what God is saying to you. Do not be too quick to tell everybody, oh, God is saying this to me, therefore God is saying to you. You got to learn to discern. Because it's important. It took me years to understand this. But I practiced hearing what God was saying to me and I wrote it down. I wrote it down so that I will remember. Because if I'm going to depend on memory, I can forget. So it's important. Write down. Write down the things that you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And don't be too quick to say it out. Sit on it. When I use the word sit on it, not literally sitting. But I'm saying about, you know, you wait out, pray through. It's like, excuse me for saying that, please do not get offended with me on this. It's like a cow regurgitating the grass that the cow was chewing. You know, a cow has got seven stomach. So the cow would chew the grass, eat the grass and chew, and then it gets going, and that section, you know, the grass will go into another stomach and it goes on. After a while, it all pops up again and goes through the process. Now, when we chew on the Word of God or when we chew on what God has spoken to us, when I use the word chew on, that means meditate. Actually, the word meditate means chew. Have a bite. Chew on the Word of God. Okay? So, you begin to meditate. And if you don't understand, go back to God. If He is the one who gave it to you, He will give you the explanation. If you don't understand, most likely, it can be a mixture. I'll get around to that somehow. Okay? But what I'm saying is that make sure that your heart is pure before God. Because our first reason for hearing the voice of God is not to hear the voice of God for somebody else. It's to hear the voice of God for ourselves first. Practice on that. And when you have perfected that, it has been proven, God has been speaking to you to a lot of confirmation. God will bring people to confirm to you. Say, for example, you start to share with people. You know, I feel like God is saying this to me. And it's like, it's very interesting. Everywhere I go, you know, people talk to me about the same thing. Now, if people talk to you on the same thing, that which God has been speaking to you, it really has to be God. You understand what I'm saying? God will confirm to you. Our God is a good God. When I first started learning to hear His voice, He would bring people into my path to assure me, to comfort me, to strengthen me, and to confirm to me that truly what I received was from God. Now, as I'm saying this part, if there had been certain areas in your life that had been crushed, your hopes had been dashed, you had been crushed, you lost your confidence, let me assure you, God will restore you. He will restore you. You know, one of the things that we see in the body of Christ is this, that many people, as they attempt to hear the voice of God, sometimes we make mistakes. Have I made mistakes? Yes. So don't be afraid. But when you make a mistake, be prepared to say, I am sorry, I miss it. Okay? It's all right. See, learning to hear the voice of God is not anything that is too frightening. Is there anyone here that loves to hear the voice of God, but it's having a little bit of fear? Anyone? Wow, you're very bold. Whew, I like that. Must be very bold. Okay. So it's very important for us to make sure that we have clean hands and a pure heart. Remember this. When God speaks to you, there will be life. There will be peace. God will not contradict Himself. God will not call you, those of you who want to be anyone. Oh, where's Nigel? Oh, okay. That was a lovely time of worship, Nigel. I don't know whether you have ever thought about this. Maybe you have thought, oh, one day I would love to be in a stage leading worship to thousands upon thousands of people. Maybe. I'm just putting you right on the spot, okay? But yet, at the same time, you may be thinking, oh Lord, this dream is so far-fetched. It's so big. Will you ever lead me into that? Now, let me just say this. When God gives us a vision or even gives us a dream can be a desire. Usually, that desire is far more bigger than what we naturally have. Usually, because most of us are afraid to do things. And when God asks us to do something, most of the time, it is always bigger than what we think or imagine. Don't be too quick and say, God, this is not from you. Don't be too quick. Dare to be dreamers for God. If you are talking about hearing the voice of God, you are also talking about dreams. Having desires. I wouldn't be here today ministering the word of God if God did not give me dreams and visions. If God did not speak to me. I remember those days I was in a Bible school, short-term Bible school in Singapore. And I was about to leave for England to be trained to be a nurse. Every part of me wanted to serve God full-time. And I said, God, I need your confirmation. So anyway, in the Bible school, they had to pray for us. And there was another sister in front of me. This sister received a prophetic word. The prophetic word was this. God has called you to minister to the sick. And then it came to my turn. God has given you a pulpit ministry. I told God, you made a mistake, God. Because the lady in front of me was going to go to a Bible school. I was going to go to the hospital. I was going to go to be trained as a nurse. So in a logical way, you know, her prophecy should be mine, my prophecy should be hers. But God knew. Of course, I knew God had called me into the ministry. But just at that time, you know, I was a bit like, oh God, it is now. Now, let me just say this. When God says something to you, it may not be now. Don't you be in a hurry. Because it only leads to worry. That's a song. Okay? So, be ready to allow God to develop you. So, God began to rearrange my life, rearrange her life. 3 years later, I came back from England. I visited her, and she had already come out from, many years later. She had already come out from Bible school, and when I visited her, I really got a shock on my life. Here I was ready to be launched forth into the ministry, and here she was already ministering to the sick. I said, God, you did not make any mistakes. Okay? So God knows about our future. But what I'm saying is this. Sometimes when God says something to you, it seems so far-fetched. The higher that God demands of you, the greater the dream, the greater destiny that God has called you. Spend more time with Him so that God will shape, God will mold, God will prepare you to walk into that place whereby suddenly God fulfills His word. Sometimes we receive things that we know God put in our hearts. We hear. But along the way, we go through a journey. Maybe a journey of discouragement. A journey whereby perhaps it seems like as if we have been dislocated from God. As if we have missed the mark. Let me just assure you, even if you have missed the mark, as long as you are still walking in faith in Jesus, He will bring you back to the place that you have lost your mark, and He will set you on course again. Because in Christ, there is no derailment. There can be delays a little bit, but there are no derailment. Okay? So it's important as we hear the voice of God, we must allow God to always build us up with the fresh word of the Lord. That means there must be a constant pursuit after God. All right? Now, the third thing is this, removing of blind spots. I am not teaching you on hearing the voice of God as you would get in many, many textbooks, because I feel that it is easier to get those material even from the internet. But I'm teaching you on things that are practical, things that we ourselves have gone through. Okay? Some of the blunders that we have made, some of sometimes it was like as if we tripped because we were ignorant. Okay? So God was teaching us this, removing blind spots. Whether you like it or not, each one of us, we have blind spots. But the first blind spot that I want to deal with is that make sure that we are not religious. Now, it's all right to be spiritual, but it's not all right to be religious. When you and I are spiritual, we are walking in the present tense. We are not locked in into a form. We are not locked in into a system. We are not locked in into something that we believe God will move us in. That He will use the same method yesterday, today, and forever. Only Jesus Christ remains the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But the method will change. The method will be different, mainly because God knows where we are, number one. He also knows what condition are we in at this point. Remember last week I mentioned that God will shout out loud at times just to get our attention. That is one way of God speaking to us. Sometimes God wants to get our attention in such a way that perhaps we're doing something different. You know, we may be going this direction and God wants us to get this direction. And we don't seem to understand what is going on. You seem to be going on this direction. Yes, some things are happening, but it doesn't seem like this is it. And you still do not know what it is that God wants us to do in your life. So as you begin to seek after God, suddenly in your spirit man, that is like God begins to jolt you up. Okay? And He shouted loud into your heart. And you just know it's time to change direction. You don't understand why. Don't try to understand why first when you're talking about hearing the voice of God. Don't understand why first. You won't understand until you obey. You won't understand until you obey. You know, it's like God wants us to continue to walk like little children. One thing I love is this: whenever I'm in the presence of God, I am a child of God. That's all it is. I'm just a child of God. Never forget that no matter how old we are, what we do, even serving God, that we are children of God. And so as children of God, we come to God in the way that we come to Him. Without restriction, without limitation, without a form. Can you imagine every time your children want to come to you, you must give me, so tell me what time you're coming first. Now, I know some cultures do that, okay? Because you have other things to do, that's fine. But can your children occasionally just drop in without informing you? Is it all right? Please make sure it's all right, because that's your child. Okay? That's your child. It's like you talking to God anytime, and God is ever ready to listen to you. There is that open access. There is a freedom. Okay? Now, when there is religious spirit, there is no freedom. Religious spirit is being bound by order. It's being bound by rules. We know of people. In fact, many years ago, there was this lady. She desperately wanted to learn to hear the voice of God. But she was locked in. Because she was working, you know, she was working in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, in the city, where the traffic is really high. A lot of cars. And so in order to reach her workplace, she has got to travel maybe 3 hours in advance. And so she was not sleeping enough. She was working overtime. She was so sleepy. And whenever she would go back home, she would reach her home after her shower. She would open up the Bible and read, and she would pray. After a little while, she would knock off to sleep. And she would feel so guilty because she was not getting anywhere in a relationship with God. She was feeling guilty. Now, when religious spirit is involved, there is a lot of guilt. Okay? There's a lot of guilt. If one cannot hear the voice of God, or if one cannot spend time with God, please do not approach God that way. You spend time with God because you delight in Him. But change your modus operandi. That means if you find it difficult to wake up very early in the morning to pray, I do not know your timetable. I have no idea about your schedule. But find some time during the day. Of course, the best time would be in the morning if you can. But if you are rushing off to work, getting your children ready and all that, find a time. And if you are caught in a traffic jam, you know this is your daily routine. Pray. When you're caught in the traffic jam, honestly speaking, you're free from distraction. Because you and God alone in the car. Are you with me? But when anyone is religious, when they find that they cannot do a certain thing, or they cannot worship God without the banner. Oh, I'm touching something here. Some Christians are very bothered that they must worship God with a banner all the time. If you've got to be doing something like this all the time, you're bound by something external. Worship God in spirit and in truth. I remember last year when we went to Indonesia for a prayer assembly, there was one section that they were selling flags, banners, t-shirts, whatever, everything in Hebrew. Will it make one any more spiritual? Now this is going to stir something up here. Will these Hebrew words that I have no understanding of, will it make me more spiritual? Will it make me touch God easier? No. These are external things. In fact, one Malaysian, he was wearing it, and I would say, if he were to wear this in Malaysia, that's it. You understand what I'm saying? Just like, for example, if you're going to Syria, I don't think any one of us want to go to Syria right now, but if we're going to Syria to preach the gospel right now, and in the street, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you'll be locked up. Do you need hallelujah, praise the Lord, in order for people to know that you're a Christian? Now what I'm saying, I'm just using examples as it comes to my mind. What I'm saying is that those words are good. Okay? They are good things. It really, you know, it's like we praise God. Oh yes, thank you Lord. We thank you Lord. Praise you Lord. But if I'm in a place whereby it's going to endanger my life, I have to use wisdom. I'm not going to be locked in a religious words, whereby those words, even though they are words of praising God, but those words might get me into trouble because I'm in a different setting. Okay? Is that clear? Okay, no offense. I am your friend. Okay? Just as I'm a friend of God. All right? So we must make sure that there must not be any part of us that is have a tendency towards being religious. I'll say, for example, when you talk about hearing the voice of God in this context, if every time you are hearing God telling you, I love you, my child, I love you, my child, 100 times, out of 100 times, 98 times you are hearing, I love you, my child. God is saying to you, I love you. Okay? Or you are receiving this and you are believing that God is saying this to you. Number one, check it out. Most likely you have gone through a lot of hurts or whatever, and God is just saying this to you. He loves you. But after receiving it for 98 times out of 100 times, you must ask God, God, is there any more? You understand what I'm saying? Is there any more? Because you and I do not want to be stuck in a rut where we are just dwelling on the love of God and we may not be obeying God in any other areas. Is that clear? Okay? So that means, let us stretch our faith in God. And if you think that God is saying something to you regarding yourself or another person, come into the place whereby, first of all, you yourself must have proven that God, what God has spoken to you is really from God first. Test it out. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, test out every spirit. Do not believe in every spirit. Do not believe. Test it out. Because it's not just only about hearing the voice of God. We must be able to perceive correctly. Okay? We must be able to know who is it for. We must be able to understand why is God saying the same thing to us. Sometimes God may be emphasizing again and again because He wants to do deep works. Or perhaps He just wants to affirm us. But we cannot be saying those things every time. I remember I was in a church. That every time that this same lady, she had been prophesying for years, and all she would say, God loves you. You know, every Sunday without fail, she would say that. And then after that, she would cry. Actually, the pastors need to go around to her, you know, and get her to develop hearing the voice of God more, or get her to find out why God is saying that to her. Probably she needed healing. But it was not meant for the entire church. Are you here with me? Okay? So we must understand. Don't just receive one word and then start to get so excited and you tell everybody, because it may be just for you. Okay? That's important. And so, the part of being religious will hinder one in hearing the voice of God in clarity. Okay? Now, the word of God says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness be not manifest, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, I believe, verse 12, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God has made them both. If you and I can hear the voice of God, we will also see clearly what God is wanting to do. Okay? Our inner vision of God is important. That means what you perceive, what God wants to do is very important. So work on allowing God to see what you are receiving. Test it out. You know, when you have a sieve, those of you who knows how to bake cakes, you have got to put the flour to the sieve and you got to just shake, shake, shake. So that which is finer flour will go through, isn't it? I don't bake cakes, but I know how is it done. Okay? So it's like God wants to sieve. God wants us to sieve those things that we are receiving. He wants us to come into a place that we become, how I put it, He wants us to be able to hear Him. He wants us to have that relationship because we are God's sheep. You know, if He said this, I'm a good shepherd, the voice of a stranger you will not hear, but you will hear my voice. What is so interesting about hearing the voice of God? When we hear God's voice, we will live. When we hear God's voice, we will have revelation. When we hear God's voice, we will know what to do. When we hear God's voice, we will advance, we will grow. When we hear God's voice, He will release creativity. Actually, hearing the voice of God can be scary. But yet, on the other hand, as we develop that relationship, Father, Son, He's our Father. He's, you know, we are like a son and daughter to Him. You will find that it does something to your heart. Okay? It does something to your heart. And so, when He anoint our eyes with eye salve, when He anoint us, even like in Psalms 92, we will begin to hear the voice of God in clarity. It will not be something that you will be unsure of. It will be something that when you hear the voice of God, it's like He puts His finger, He will zero in. Zeroing in upon an issue, upon an area, He gives you the answer. That's that distinct relationship that we have with our God. It's not like any other religions of the world. They can't hear God. They worship the idols that can have mouths that do not speak, ears that cannot hear. But we worship a living God. And when we worship Him in spirit and in truth, we can hear His voice. Worship is a key. Another key will be prayer. Your prayer life is going to cause you to be so soaked up in the presence of God that your prayer life is going to be the lifeline that is going to cause your heart to be so sensitive, that is going to cause you to be able to hear His voice in clarity. So as we come into the place of freshness, when we are not religious, we will be fresh. Okay? The prophetic cuts against the religious because the prophetic always wants to bring something fresh. The freshness of God. It's not what you just know from the word. It's more than that. It's what is God wanting to do now. It's a now word. So when we hear God, God is not just going to give us, show us things that we have gone through perhaps in the past that He's giving us an answer or giving us a closure. But God is saying something to us now, something that is fresh, something that is going to inspire, something that is going to give us life, something that is going to give us strength, something that is going to push us on in the days ahead, something that is going to lead us into His destiny, something that is going to revive us, something that is going to give us a dream, a hope, and a future. So we must excel in hearing the voice of God. We must excel in having that freshness with God, that relationship with Him. Now, the second point that I want to talk about, which is not in the notes, in the area of removing blind spots, is this. Blind spots can come into the area whereby, you know, our personality and opinions come into the place. Now, all of us here, we have opinions of God. But our opinions of God is not important. It's what God says in His Word. How God reveals to us truth about His Word. Now, when you and I are in that place, when we can perceive God correctly, we will interpret God correctly. But if our opinion stands in the way, or our personality stands in the way, it becomes a standard. Are you here with me? And that can block us really from receiving that which God is saying or wanting to do. Many times, personally, I've experienced this. When God tells me something and I'm not too sure about it, I just lay it before the Lord again and again. Because when God tells me something I don't understand, I dare not move. I don't have that confidence. But when I know and understand, when I use the word understand, I'm not talking about why God. You understand what I'm saying? God won't tell us why until we obey. But when I use the word I don't understand, especially in a major situation, I will wait upon the Lord until He brings about a confirmation. My opinion is not important. My personality is not important in that way. But I will wait until God brings about a clarity. Okay? There are certain things that are factual about God. There are certain things that are not really that factual, because not everything that God shows us has common sense in it. Are you here with me? Some things have common sense. That means, say for example, if you're at a meeting, you don't expect God to tell you, bring a tissue paper, because the Holy Spirit will move and you might cry. So it's common sense that you bring tissue paper or handkerchief with you. You don't need to hear God's voice on that. I was once ministering in the ladies' camp in England, and my friend told me this, oh, the Holy Spirit told me this morning to bring a box of tissue paper. I turned around and told her, that's just common sense, it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's important for us not to label God in things that perhaps God is not in the picture. Let common sense remain as common sense. But let those things that God is speaking, let us really label it as it is. Let us, like what Joseph said, God does not need our permission to be God. You understand what I'm saying? So when He does not need our permission to be God, He is God anyway. Neither must we add on to something that God perhaps is not in the picture. Sometimes we human beings, we love to do things like this. That at one point, some people were going on like that. Oh, today the Holy Spirit told me to wear something blue. I'm not too sure about that. It's just common sense again. Okay? Whether you have ironed that blouse or not. Take what is practical from the cupboard. Okay? So it's very important. Alright? So, when you talk about our personality and opinions, make sure that we are not a people that is so strong in our opinion until God cannot break through. Because opinion can also talk about our minds. Okay? We must always approach God not with our mind already fixed on something and say, Holy Spirit, you speak to me. It doesn't happen like that. But you just be open, say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what you want us to do. I'm like a completely blank data up here. I have no idea. We have oftentimes experiences when we don't know what to do, God will come in very powerfully. Not because we are too lazy to find out from God. It's just that really we do not exactly know what He wants to do. But we just have a sense of knowing He's going to do something. And of course, when you feel like that, you know, even though if you have been ministering many times, each time you come up, it's like, oh God, you better show up. That's a good prayer. Because there is that dependency on God. God, if you don't show up, I've got nothing to do. I remember one time we were in a meeting. When it came to that time, after that, I just couldn't go anymore. And I told the people, you go home. Some of them, they were not used to this. I was really offended. But the Holy Spirit had done whatever that He had done. I couldn't act anymore. Because that was exactly what I heard the Lord was saying and doing. Actually, it was in a church at that time. Not here. So you don't have a thing. Is that any of the churches here? It's not here at all. But it was in another place. And there was a lot of in-house fighting going on. And I couldn't move anymore. I had such a terrible headache because I didn't know that was a place of physical battlefield that, you know, that the leadership had. So it came to a point I just practically felt that the anointing was bouncing back. I was preaching on the Word of God. You know, God was doing things, but the anointing kept on bouncing back to me. And after that, I heard the Holy Spirit just say, that's it. Done. Done. So when it's like that, I cannot continue anymore. So I told the people, go home. Now, let me just say this. When we're talking about hearing the voice of God, God will also move. When I use the word, don't be blocked by our personality and opinions. Yet at the same time, God will also move within our personality. If you're a gentle person, and you're very, very, how I put it, very obedient person, God will speak to you gently. Very gently, because that's your nature. You understand what I'm saying? He will speak to you gently because you're obedient. Your heart is Your heart is there in Him and for Him already. And when He says something to you, you just say, yes, Lord. Father God, I'll obey You. You know, and you just respond gently. He will use your personality. Most oftentimes, God will speak to us in like a pattern. It's like, He knows you. He knows me. He will speak to us even through signposts in our lives. When we want to come here, you know, we have to, you know, go to certain direction in order to come here. So there are signposts along the way. Therefore, when God speaks to us, there are signposts too. Signposts in which you know that when God speaks to us, there will be peace. And if you are going through a lot of ruffling inside, suddenly the peace of God comes upon your heart. God is just saying to you, He's just putting His peace in you. Even though you may not hear His voice literally saying to you what else to do, what is the next stage, but that peace is so deep inside of you, you settle with that peace. Okay? When God speaks to us, it can be a feeling, an emotion, a word from the Bible, or a flashing word in your mind, or suddenly you see a vision, or you may have dreams. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. But it doesn't mean old in age. It means when you're mature in the Lord, God will also use dreams to speak to you. Write it down. If you don't understand, talk to the Lord about it. Say, God, show me what you're saying. Show me what you're doing. He will bring about confirmation. When you wake up from your sleep, and if that dream that you had really came from God, that dream is very distinct. But if you had beef burger late at night, and your stomach is pretty full, and you've gone off to sleep, and you've had a dream of eating or something else, it may not be from God. Okay? It may be something that your soul went through, or something that you have gone through. Okay? So you need to discern. Now, if you're a bubbly person, I remember one time during one of the schools that we conducted, we had at that time, it was the youngest boy that ever attended school. He was 14 years old then. He's going to get married in November. And God would speak to him just through simple visions. He would have a vision of a cup and tea was being poured into the cup. And then he would have a vision of an egg and the eggshell would crack. You know? And he said, God, what are you doing? But you know what? That's his age. That's his age. When he thinks, he would think in picture. So that's how God would use pictures to speak back to him. Okay? I want to encourage you, even little children can hear the voice of God. Little children, start them off young. Don't wait until they're old. Get them sensitized in the things of God. Get them used to the things of God, things of the Spirit. Get them to experience God here. Don't be afraid. Expose them to the things of God at an early age so that the world will not lure them. Teach them on hearing the voice of God. Teach them on worship. Teach them on literally taking time to pray until the presence of God engulfs them. Okay? And when they are so used to the presence of God, the temptations of this world will not become so strong. Okay? It's very important. So God will move even through our personality. Alright? Now the third thing is this. The third area of blind spot, which is again not in your notes, is our minds. When I talk about our mind, there is that part of us where our mind has been renewed by the Word of God. When our minds are renewed by the Word of God, you know, God's Word becomes our standard. God's Word begins to change the way we think so that there will be a confirmation and transformation that God will begin to shape us. Okay? But if our minds are not renewed by the Word of God, we will allow our past, we will allow our experiences to begin to shape us. We will allow even our education to shape us. And therefore, we will even allow that to become our standard. And so therefore, when we talk about hearing the voice of God, some people find it difficult because the intellectual mind is full of reasoning, cannot understand why God, who is so high up there, can come and talk to us. But our God is our Father. Okay? And He's also our friend. I'd like you to imagine God being your friend. Really your best friend. One that will never betray you. One that will understand you completely without misunderstanding you. One that knows you in and out, that will not despise you. Isn't that wonderful? One that was just there for you. Whether it's in the good days or the bad days. Good times or bad times. That's why I love that song. You are God alone. Whether it's good times or bad times, God will not change. And when we know Him like that on the inside of you, you will come into that place whereby because of that friendship with God, because of that trust in God, your mind will not stand in the way. God will speak to you into your heart first, into your spirit man first. And then when you perceive Him, when you receive His word in your heart, and then the alignment will come upon your thoughts. Your spirit man, your heart is very, very important. My heart is very important. And therefore, in our minds, we must make sure that our experiences, our values, does not contradict that which is of God. That means we don't measure God by our experiences. All our values. We measure God by who God is. Our God is a consistent God. He will not speak to you today, go to direction A, tomorrow go to direction B. It will cause confusion like that. God is consistent. We are not consistent. Human beings are not consistent. And that's where God has to bring alignment. Okay? But God's word is always consistent. God's character is always consistent. Very important. Now, this year has been a very interesting year for us. For years, we couldn't understand, mainly because we went through a period, very, very tough period. But it was good. The tough period that we went through, God was just making us stronger in Him and causing our roots to be planted in Him. And we could have gone astray, but by His grace, we did not. When I use the word gone astray, you know, sometimes when you go through very, very tough situations, it's either you make it or you break it. And we hung on to God. It was like we gritted our teeth and we hung on to God. We said, God, you got to come through for us. Very tough moments. And there were many things that God spoke to us years and years ago. Big, big things that He spoke to us. One of it was to the nations. Those days, you travel to the nations, it's much cheaper. The budget airline just came on scene. It was so low, the rates. And I tell you, I could not go. We couldn't travel. And it was impossible. But then suddenly, the Lord just unlocked things in the dimension of the Spirit. Now, let me just say this. Hearing the voice of God, you're tapping into the dimension of the Spirit. It's going to be that which is in the Spirit that is going to give you freedom. It's not in the mind, it's not in the flesh. But it's in the Spirit that God is going to unlock you and trust you forward. That's why it's so important for us to hear the voice of God. When you hear the voice of God, you will come alive. You will know God's destiny for yourself. And the devil will try so hard to make you doubt after God. And keep you in the dark. Because that which you will not know, you will continue to be ignorant. The word of God says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed because of ignorance. But God wants us to be informed that He is a God of relationship. He's a God that wants to speak to us on a daily basis. But we've got to allow Him to speak to us we have got to allow Him to work in us in areas of our lives so that there will be a perfect alignment of His will, so that there will not be mixtures in our lives. Being religious is mixture. When we are religious, we cannot be moving forward. We have known very many, how do I put it? I get excited now. We have known many, many people that were so zealous for God. Truly, they love God. They spend a lot of hours praying. Some of them are even intercessors. But you know what? They're the... Now, forgive me for saying that. If you're an intercessor, I'm not talking about you. But if it causes a stir in your heart, deal with it, because it may be something that God is zeroing on. Are you here with me? So we have these intercessors who spend many, many hours praying. But yet, you know what? There was no joy on the face. Now, joy is very important. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you are religious, when a person is religious, a person will put on a face. I'm not sure what is that frown for. I want to get rid of this line because it's called wrinkles. Okay? At one point, I was frowning because I was so worried about my parents at the time because of their health. Okay? But I don't have frowns anymore. I don't have wrinkles. Oi lang. In Cantonese, okay. In English means, I want to look beautiful. Why not? Okay? It's good. Alright? Now, what I'm saying is this. If we spend time with God, we should be joyful. We should not be spooky. Because if you and I are spooky, I won't want to go near you. You won't want to come near me. You might influence me with your spookiness. I might influence you with your spookiness. You understand what I'm saying? So it's important that we are not spooky, because religious people can be spooky. Religious people can be putting on a front of being very spiritual. But let me just say this to you. Real spirituality is being practical. That's real spirituality. Real spirituality is talking about experiencing God in the reality. So that, you know, people won't be afraid to touch God. You can talk about God in the restaurant when you eat to the waitress. And suddenly the presence of God comes down. And the waitress is thinking, oh, I'm feeling something very funny. I've got goosebumps. What's it? That's the presence of God. Okay? Now what I'm saying to you, when you begin to bring the reality of Christ in your daily walk, even in you hearing the voice of God, the supernatural becomes so easy. You carry His presence. I do evangelism like that. I've had many non-Christians that will say, I feel something very different. And the person will be tearing. What is it? That's God. And they say, wow. Do you know that God wants us to come into the place whereby He bypassed our intellectual reasoning? He bypassed it. Because our God is such a big God. Our minds are very puny minds, and we try to comprehend everything of God. We cannot. Each time we think we know all about God, He undo it all. That's the goodness of God. And so, we come into a place whereby we pursue after God. We pursue God. Have that love relationship with Him. Pursue after Him. You pursue after Him, it's very natural for you to hear His voice. It will become so natural. Okay? I'm also imparting to you a hunger for God. A heart that will woo God. Not only the Holy Spirit wooing us, we must woo Him. Okay? So, as our minds are renewed with the Word of God, it will make us wise. It will cause us to learn to judge the very Word that we receive. If the word that we receive is condemning, making us feel small, that word is not from God. If that word that we receive is making us feel an uneasy feeling, that word is not from God. If that word, part of it is of the Spirit, part of it, there is a question mark, there is a mixture. Okay? Now, none of us here want to hear God wrongly. But like I said, we are all human beings. We can make mistakes. Making mistakes doesn't mean you're doomed forever. Just like a child runs and a child trips and falls. The child can't lie there and keep on crying. The child got to pick himself or herself up and start to run again. Same thing with us. We keep on learning.